saying that it has worked. It can work when the Lord blesses. We feel like that He has. Elder John Burkett is pastor at the Tippecanoe Primitive Baptist Church. Where is that located?
Bourbon, Indiana.
Bourbon?
Bourbon, Indiana.
Bourbon, Indiana. And we are delighted that he's been able to be here through this meeting. So may God bless you, brother.
It's truly a joy to be in the Lord's house this morning. You know, as I sit and listen to all the people that have just united in their common joy and just rendering that up to heaven, it makes my soul soar. And I believe you can find just a little picture of what it's going to be like when our joy is fully unmasked and we are beholding Him in all His glory, and we are gathered around that throne and we are singing together to that joy. It's going to be a wonderful time. I've sought a time of refreshing, and I think I found it this weekend. Amen. It's been a blessed time. I appreciate all those that have gone before, and I appreciate the singing. I have something on my mind this morning, and I don't want to necessarily take a text to start off with. I want to use something that I believe that God has given each and every one of us to use to give us some insight. I want to use your imagination. Imagination can be a good thing when it's used in the right way. So I want you to go with me in your minds to a place. I just want you to imagine just for a moment what it was like. And I want to do that to prove a point that is found in Scripture. I want you to think just for a moment. I want you to imagine that you are sitting, maybe in some grass, maybe in some dirt, out in the middle of nowhere. And you're just sitting there, and all of a sudden, He appears. And He comes walking through, and all of a sudden he opens His mouth. And you are sitting under the sound of the voice of God Himself. And as He walks, maybe He comes by you and he's teaching the manifold wisdom of God. Maybe He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness." You know, the Scripture says that He taught as one having authority. Can you just imagine what that would have been like? To sit at the feet of Jesus and just for a moment hear His precious, sovereign, undefiled words. We'd like to be there, wouldn't we? Sure we would. To sit on the banks of maybe Galilee or one of the seas around there or one of the pastures and have the Lord Jesus Christ Himself walk in our midst and talk to us and communicate those things from heaven to us and teach us how to live our lives or what to do. He teaches us of the blessedness that is found in His Father. He reveals His Father to us. And oh, how we would love to be there. But sometimes, and I told that to kind of move on to my next point. Sometimes we focus on how it was instead of how it is.
Yeah.
We desire those things that happened 2,000 years ago. We wish we could have been there to sit under the sound of His voice. But brothers and sisters, I've got news. The Lord Jesus Christ has not stopped teaching for 2,000 years.
Amen.
He is still alive today, and He's preaching today with the same power and with the same wisdom that He did 2,000 years ago. Here's the question. Are you listening? Are you holding those words that He teaches, as David said, more necessary than my daily food? Do you hold those words that are given today in high regard? They're coming from the mouth of Jesus. The point I want to make this morning is that when you open your Bible, when you come to the Lord's house, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to be taught by Jesus Christ Himself. Every time you open the Word of God, there is an opportunity there to have the Lamb of God teach you the manifold wisdom. I want you to turn with me to John, or Luke rather, Luke chapter 10. And we're going to look at a little story here, and it was alluded to, I believe it was last night. Luke chapter 10, and we'll begin in verse 38, and I just want you to behold some things that happened here. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38, he says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and what? Heard His word. But Martha was cumbered." This word means distracted. "She was distracted or cumbered about with much serving, and came to Him and said, 'Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful.'" He didn't say optional. He said, there's one thing needful. When I read this passage, I don't see Jesus necessarily scolding Martha for serving. He's not scolding Martha for serving. He said, there's still one thing lacking. There's still one thing needful. And then he goes on and he says, "And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Mary had chosen for just a little while Jesus was there, to sit at His feet and hear His words. Brothers and sisters, that is still the one thing needful for us. We need to sit down at the feet of the Messiah and listen to His words for a little while. Not just on Sunday morning either. It needs to be an everyday practice. You need to sit at Jesus' feet and hear His words every day. Too often, I believe, we get distracted. We're creatures of distraction, are we not? I'm a preacher, so I get to see how people react in the congregation. And I can see when people, they get to looking around, and that's just human nature. They get distracted. But I'll tell you something about distraction. It hurts you in the long run. There's something I learned in college. I'm a horrible math person. I can't do math. About all I know is 2 plus 2 equals 5. But I can't do math. But I'll tell you, when I was taking college algebra, you know when I messed up? Is when I drifted in class. I missed some key point that was needful for the whole equation. And because I didn't have that one key piece of information, I couldn't do the math problem. And it's all because I got distracted and stopped listening to the teacher. And that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. Satan is very, very subtle. He will get you distracted to thinking on things so that you will miss that key, important piece of information that Christ is trying to teach you. I believe God has a message for each and every person every single day. He wants you to learn something every single day about Him. Now the question I want you to ask, am I being distracted every day? Am I being distracted on Sunday morning? There's one thing needful, to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear His words. Turn with me very quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to talk just for a moment about the necessity that we be taught by Him and not by ourselves. That we be taught by Him and not anyone else. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says this. Let's begin in verse 9. He says, "But as it is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" What this verse, let me simplify this in modern terms. Nobody knows Brother Clayton like Brother Clayton knows Brother Clayton. That's plain and simple. And then he goes on, he says, "Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." There is one being that understands God. That's God Himself. So it stands to reason in my mind, if we are to learn anything of God, it must come from God.
Amen.
If we are to know anything about Brother Clayton, it's got to come from Brother Clayton. He has to show his inner being, that inner emotional seat. And the same it is with God. If we are to learn anything of the Father, it must come from the Father. I have heard so many people say, "Well, Brother John, I don't read much because I don't understand it. I don't understand the Word of God. I got a secret. I don't either." I don't either. Understanding the Scripture is not a logical process. There are so many people that have tried to boil it down into a logical process of understanding. You can't do that. That's what seminary is all about. You try to boil the understanding down so that you can understand it in a logical process. You cannot understand the Word of God by simple logical process. It's got to come from the Father. John chapter 4:14 says this. I'll turn there real quick and read it. John 14, verse 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said." I've got news for you, brothers and sisters. These preachers cannot teach you a thing. They can't do it. God has got to be in their message, and He has to be in the congregation. I've seen the messages just bounce off of people. It's not going inside. They're not receiving it. I've seen other people drink it up like water. He says in Psalm 36, verse 9, let's look at what David had to say of this. Psalm 36, verse 9. David says this, "For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light." I'm speaking of illumination here this morning. In order for you to see the light, you must first have the light.
Amen.
It's not a logical process.
Amen.
It requires the Spirit. You know, I've preached and I've seen where I have taught the basic principles of our doctrine over and over and over again to the same people. And all of a sudden, one day, somebody would come to me and says, "I finally understand this. It clicked. They finally got it." Was that because of my preaching? No. It's because the Lord was working in them so that they could finally get. David said multiple times in Psalm 119, Psalm 119, he says this, verse 33, he says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes." You read again in verse 64, "The earth of the Lord is full of thy mercies. Teach me thy statutes." Verse 66, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandment." Sounds to me like David had a desire to be taught. He had a desire to be taught, not from man, not from himself, but he appeals to the only one who can truly teach him. And that's the Lord. Teach me thy statutes. The disciples said on one occasion, as they were walking along with Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." You think you know how to pray? It's a spiritual thing. Brothers and sisters, anything spiritual, our attitude needs to be this: Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me to worship. Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, teach me to offer the sacrifices of my lips. Lord, teach me to love you. Teach me what that really means. Teach me about your omnipotence, about your omniscience. Teach me about the great gulf of thy love. Teach me. Teach me what thy word really means. Teach me these things. I was laying in bed the other night and I was contemplating this subject. It was last week and it was about 2:00 in the morning, and this hit my mind and I had to run and write it down. And I believe this fits. We try to interpret the Bible, and a lot of times if we try to interpret it with our own logical process, as I've talked about this morning, we'll wind up in a ditch. You will. I believe the Lord gave me this. Interpretation without illumination leads to complications and ultimately disorientations. But get this. However, when interpretation is brought about by illumination, it leads to clarification, gives strong exhortation, which causes beautiful meditations, and ultimately ends in jubilations. Ain't that the truth? When you're sitting at the feet of Jesus, brothers and sisters, and He's teaching you His Word, brother, and the light's there, you are drinking from the fountain of heaven. Amen. You are being taught the manifold wisdom of God. Oh, to sit at the feet of Jesus. Oh, to hold on to every single word. That's where the beauty's at. That's where the beauty's at. You've got a picture of this. I'll give this and I'll sit down. You've got a picture of this in Jewish history. I'm a history major. I like history. In the old times, the women would wear a veil to cover their face. Not every woman wore it. It was simply the unmarried. And it was worn for modesty. But it was to mask the beauty. Brothers and sisters, when the Holy Spirit is teaching you out of His Word, that veil is taken off.
Oh, that's good.
And you can see the beauty of the gospel. You know what has to happen for the veil to come off? There must first be a marriage relationship. I think that's why old Jacob didn't know who Leah was. She was wearing a veil. Let me close with this. Hebrews chapter 2 says this, and this is a verse that is constantly on my mind anytime I go to the Lord's house, especially when I come to a meeting like this. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 says this, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Let them slip there means to run out of as a cracked pot. I'm sure if you're anything like me, you've had your pot full this weekend. But you need to make sure before you leave this place that your pot ain't got a crack in it. Don't let it seep out. You lay hold on that and you hold it just as tight as you can. Anytime the Lord teaches you, brothers and sisters, you need to hold on to it. Because if you're not careful, the devil will try to come and take it away from you. Every day you have an opportunity to be taught by the Lord Jesus Himself. Let's not leave the Lord, but let's meet with Him every single day and say, "Lord, teach me today. Teach me what You would have me to change. Teach me what You would have me to know." And once He has, let's lay hold of it. Thank you for your kind attention. Amen.